through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
All right, this should prove interesting. We're going to be taking your questions, just like they do down in Miami at Media Day.
NFL. We're just like players.
Yeah, kind of. And we're just like Roger Goodell, except that's boring and kind of serious. We don't want to be serious. We want to be interesting. You can be silly. You can be serious, but just be interesting no matter what. So
that's the coaching point by Tom Wassel there for really Stacy and I, because Tom's got this down. He's not worried about it.
Yep.
What do you mean? Well, you are interesting and funny and all those things.
You are too.
Stacy and I are.
Well, speak for yourself. Tom, why are you going through a breakup with the Giants? You should only break up with a team if they move.
Well, because they're losing. But I got to say, we're mending fences a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
You're changing your tune here.
Look, it's hard to let go of that first love, I told you.
Okay.
They made a Patriot hire for their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did offset that move by hiring Freddie Kitchens to be their tight ends coach for the Browns.
And Jason Garrett.
Garrett, yes. But look, man, Eli just retired. I'm feeling a little sentimental, as the music would indicate.
I know.
Perfect music for this.
Next question. Who cuts your hair?
These are all for me?
No.
Robbie at Brassfields. Robbie at Brassfields cuts my hair, and I appreciate him for it. Never had a haircut outside of a buzz cut.
Yeah, you're a new Jake. It's a new Jake since you got a new haircut.
I think he brings it.
I've been meaning to tell you, and I hope you're not made uncomfortable by this.
Okay. We'll find out.
You look a lot like Tim Tebow.
Really?
Doesn't he?
I could see it.
Look at his.
I can see it.
Like his jawline, his face, is definitely his hair.
You know, I'm not going to knock that. No, I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, why would you?
Tom, who cuts your hair?
The guy that I had to tip double.
Remember, I told
you about him yesterday. I don't know his name.
I see Colin at Gene Juarez.
Ooh.
No big deal.
Say Colin.
Colin.
Fancy.
Jake, why did you decline the Huskies?
Pretty simple.
Tough questions.
It is a little bit more complicated because I grew up a long time Husky fan, and that was always my dream school. UW was my dream school. However, the universe worked against me, and at the time they were 0-12 when I was making my recruiting decision, and they had fired Tyrone Willingham. So UW as a program was not in the greatest straits at the time. So it was.
But if you had gone there, you would have made them 12-0.
Yes, and every other Husky fan that has said that to me.
Really?
Yes, at the time when you are trying to make the best decision for your future, an 0-12 program, no matter where it's at, or how much you love it, it's not always the best decision for you.
Who ended up going there?
Nick Montana.
Oh,
ended
yeah.
up going
briefly.
There. Yeah, for a brief moment.
Keith Price was after him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Keith Price was the quarterback at UW.
I like Keith Price. He's a good player.
He was a good quarterback.
Did you ever sneak out of the house to go to a party? I don't know that I ever snuck out of the house to go to a party. I did one time in probably like 7th or 8th grade, maybe 6th grade. I grew up in SeaTac, Washington. There's not a lot to do. So we played two games. One of them was when you go outside and you see how many times you can run across the highway before the next wave of traffic comes.
What?
Yeah.
Which highway?
Pack Highway.
Stacy,
no. Pack Highway or 188?
Okay,
maybe it
we're
was
not
188
But we're not talking about
highway.
I-5.
No. Like a baby highway.
Like a state highway.
Yeah, like maybe four lanes.
It's still a lot.
Well,
it's a fun game. Well, you play at night. You don't play in the middle of the day.
Yeah, but still.
Like a psycho.
Yeah, well, that would be even more dangerous.
The second thing I did was I didn't sneak out to go to a party, but I was supposed to stay home because my mom was at work. And instead, me and my best friend went to 7-Eleven to go buy candy. And she was driving home for lunch, and she saw us, and my friend tried to push me behind a fence, and she saw my friend push me behind a fence. So when I came home, she said, "Is there anything you want to say?"
Oh,
and I said, "No." And she said, "You're grounded."
Bad move.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bad move.
Rookie mistake.
God, if I had tried to sneak out my window, I'd have fallen like 30 feet to the cement.
So that was a no for
so
you?
So you didn't sneak out of the house for you a party? Didn't.
No, I mean, I went to parties. I don't know that I had a reason to sneak out, though.
It would have been cooler. I mean, you know, what, your parents are like,
my parents?
Tom, stop climbing out the window. You can go to the party. Tom, you don't need to steal my keys. Just go.
But my friends think it's cool.
Jake, did you ever sneak out of the house to go to a party?
Yes, but not a party. Not a party. A gathering of sorts.
What?
Yeah. So,
how is that not a party?
Well, it's not a party.
How many
it's
people?
Not like
how many people makes it a party?
That's a good question, but I'm guessing like where is the party? What it was more like
you
just
saying
like
a gathering makes it weird.
Yeah,
yeah, but that is true. That is very true. Like, I didn't even think about that.
Like, what are you guys like, doing there?
Just like meeting up with other friends from our high school.
It's a party,
but we're not meeting at like a house or anything.
Where? Well, what? What? Where?
Yeah,
because everybody's sneaking out. Where are you going to sneak out to?
You sneak out to go to where the party is. It could be anywhere. It could be in the woods.
Yeah, the woods.
If there are woods by you, they weren't woods by me.
That's just creepy. That's creepy.
Okay, well, whatever. Stacey, if you were an NFL player, what position would you be? I think I would be a cornerback.
A corner?
Yeah, because you're yappy.
Yeah, I think I could get in someone's head.
Talking trash. You can definitely get
you're
in
out on a, reverse psychology. Just so you know, you're out on an island. It's one-on-one.
Oh, I don't like being by myself.
Yeah.
I would get lonely.
Well, she could play zone.
It's still lonely. And I blame other people too often to play zone.
Yeah, that's where I was going to get at, is if she gets beat, there's not very often you can point to somebody else and say, it was your fault.
Yeah, if it's not a man coverage, I'm going to point the finger for sure. Let's see.
I'd be a long snapper, by the way.
What's the best burger place in the Northwest?
Oh, man, that's such a loaded question. Best burger place in the Northwest?
In the Northwest or just in Seattle?
Northwest. It just says Northwest.
There's a lot of really good burger places.
I mean, I've always been a fan of Red Mill.
Red Mill?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a big fan of the Ranch in Bothell. They've got some great burgers. The Ranch in Bothell.
How often you go up there?
Not too often. Not too often. But if I ever go and watch a game at Pop Keeney Stadium, high school game,
okay,
go stop by the Ranch.
Do you guys believe in love at first sight?
With
the music in the background.
Love at first sight? I don't know about love at first sight, but I definitely believe in fate. I mean, that's how me and my wife met.
Aww.
You know, we were instantly, she almost hit me with her car, almost ran me over, and instantly wanted to talk to her. So at some point was able
She's
to
dangerous.
Talk to her later on. And
she almost
so
hit
I believe
you
in fate.
And you said what? Can I have your number?
Well, no.
No.
Jake, tell the story. Because when you tell the story, it's a 180 in temperament that he takes the minute he sees Brooke at first.
So when I was in college at BYU and a couple buddies of mine, we were going into a dance club. And we're
learning all kinds of things about Jake today.
And we're walking in, and this parking lot's really small, like really tight. And all of a sudden, this car just comes whipping around the corner and almost hits me. And the car, you know, screeches to a halt, and I turn and look at the car like I'm about to, you know, give him peace of my mind, Tom, right? And see the driver, and it was very cute girl in there. So it was Brooke. And so I was
she gets
like,
out. Are you okay?
Yeah, there really was an exchange. It was just like, oh my gosh, she's really cute. And then just walked on my own way. But I was hoping that she was looking for a parking space to go in
into the club
instead of leaving, and caught up with her later on and ended up talking. And
where's down the street?
Yeah. No, just in the club.
Oh, so she did go in.
She did go in with her friends. Yes. And we,
did you ask her to dance? Was it like, you know, Saturday Night Fever in there?
Stories.
Or
yeah. Stories, written after that.
This is the weirdest question. What's the best way to tell my wife that she needs
No, don't
do it. Do it.
No.
What's the best way to tell my wife that she needs to take care of the hair on her upper lip without causing a fight?
No. There is no way.
There's no way to do it.
Zero.
It's going to be a fight.
There is zero way to approach that subject.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't you be able to trust your significant other to take care of you so you don't embarrass yourself?
Sure. But it's going to cause a fight.
Why?
It's going to cause a fight.
There's no way around that.
No, there isn't.
There's no way around it. Look.
Dude, my girlfriend and I take care of each other in that way.
Really?
Like,
so you'd be like, hey,
her,
you need to take care of that.
No, 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 no.
What is that thing?
No, this isn't like a thing on her upper lip. This is hair above her upper lip that he's saying like, how do I tell her, like, she should probably get rid of that.
Well, you should probably dump her, first of all.
What? For having hair on her upper lip?
Yes.
What if everything else is perfect?
It isn't.
Oh, my God.
Nothing's perfect in that situation.
I don't know how to handle that one, my guy.
In that situation, my friend, what I would advise is that if she has a close friend or family member, that you try and go a roundabout way of getting that brought up. And then they can have a conversation about it.
You take out an electric razor and you let it run forever. You say, boy, this thing feels good. Want to try? You want to pull off this?
So I'm just getting off work, and I started at noon yesterday. So that is a 26-hour shift. Wondering what's the longest work day you guys have ever had.
26 hours.
What are you doing?
Maybe a surgeon?
It'd be funny if they were like a burglar.
Well, yeah.
Hey, so, man, I've been out all night.
26 hours.
Chasing these houses.
Firefighters have really long hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they have those.
Yeah, they have breaks, right? Longest
day. Someone said, tell her to come get a lineup with me this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Longest day.
Always hustling. I respect that.
I think I worked 16 or 17 hours when I used to do Mariners pre and post.
Oh, yeah. That can be a long day.
That sucked.
I worked in the mall after college. Well, I worked in the zoo, and then I worked in the mall. And Black Friday at South Center Mall is forever. You are there forever.
At the mall?
At the mall.
I thought that they closed at like 9.
Not around Black Friday.
Oh, Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Ah.
So you're there at like 5 a.m. and it's awful.
Mm. I have had playing football and during training camp, during fall camp, pulled 16, 17-hour days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up early, late, long, long days back to back to back to back to back to back.
Jake, what factors were in your decision to give up football?
To give up football? I mean, really, honestly,
that call from Pete Carroll,
the NFL chose me not to be playing. That's really what it came down to. Now, the reality is I could have, you know, continued to play in the CFL, had opportunities to do that, had opportunities to do the AAF and the XFL. But I mean, the reality is that there's also this side of it too, where you know you got new and different opportunities that come up. And I love coaching. I love, you know, private training with quarterbacks. That's a huge passion of mine. And then doing the radio has been awesome. So doing stuff that I love, then I'm excited about the next phase of it. And you know, I've also got a family to take care of. So, you know, when you go to Canada and only get paid $40,000, you know, I mean,
yeah,
there's only so long you can continue to do that.
You know what, Stacey? When Jake first got here, I took for granted that he wasn't like super rich.
What do you mean?
Because I feel like every ex-NFL player I know like has some money. Even if you're not like, you know, the richest guy in the world. I thought that like Jake would have like money.
Like I've got a reservoir of money.
Are you calling Jake broke on air right now?
I don't know how much money he's got. But I know,
I think Jake's fine.
I know he's here for a reason.
I am here for a reason.
Because he likes us.
Because he needs to pay. He needs to keep.
He does this for free, Tom.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
It's all charity.
You need to keep the lights on.
What's the worst job you've ever had? I sold gutters once. And I just memorized lines for the gutters. And someone would ask me a question, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, it's a 48-degree angle, and I have no idea what I'm saying.
Wait a minute, like house to house, door to door?
No, I would go to, like, 4-H fairs, and I would stand outside and sell gutters.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I also, the zoo was really fun, but it was, you'd go stay at one station the whole time, and you have the same jokes told to you over and over and over and over and over again. If you are going to the zoo and you plan on going to the ticket window and saying, can I leave these kids in the monkey cage? Don't do it. Rethink it. Don't say it. That person has heard that joke before. I'm just telling you. Also, don't complain about the price. You chose to go there.
Yeah, seriously. I went. Sold glow sticks for a summer. I've told this story on the air. That was terrible.
Glow sticks?
Yep. And then the guy who I was working for accused me of like stealing from him. The whole thing was a disaster.
Yikes. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Mine is all pretty much football related. But worst situation I was in was probably Gosh, when I was up with the BC Lions, that just did not, that was not a good 2 weeks for me.
Wait, no, I really liked your story once about walking into, walking into a hotel. Jake was approached.
Yes, right? I so my first experience, you know, coming from college football and the NFL, I mean, they take care of you, right? And they take care of you, you know, first class all the way. In the CFL, it's just not. It's not the same way. There's other organizations, just like in the NFL, that take care of you better than others. You know, the BC Lions, they have a great, successful organization. But when I got there, they were like, hey, we're going to put you in the team hotel. I'm like, okay, all right, we'll go there. And ended up being some off-site hotel that some lot of sketchy people. And I walk into my door, and I got approached by a prostitute.
Who could have been anyone. So, she really could have been just asking for directions. Or potentially
made her intentions very clear. So it was in that moment, I'm like, all right, I call my wife. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I am driving up to Canada right now. What the heck's going on? And then I call them and I'm like, there's no way I'm staying here. Zero chance.
Because of that?
Yes. There were other things. There were lots of other questionable things that were going on.
Oh, okay.
What's your...
So wait, real quick.
Yeah.
That happens and the first thing you do is you call your wife?
Yeah. I called my wife.
You're a good husband.
What is going on?
You're a world-class husband, man.
Well, not just that, but she's my best friend, so I'm going to tell my best friend what's going on.
I'm telling you.
What's your favorite movie of all time? I don't know about my favorite of all time, but I did recently see Parasite. It's really good.
I keep hearing that's really good.
It's really good.
Huh.
It's weird.
I keep hearing Ford versus Ferrari is really good, too. I haven't seen that yet.
Release the Kraken!
Yeah.
Clash of the Titans.
You're going to go watch that, aren't you?
Favorite. Oh, you've never seen it, Tom.
No, it's my favorite movie ever.
Tom, what happens in the movie?
There's this guy who's wearing silver, and then all of a sudden he says...
Release the Kraken!
You sure that's what happens in the movie, Tom?
That's what
the movie's about?
That's what it's about.
What's his name?
His name is Liam Neeson.
I think that there's a couple different movies for me. I mean, that's such a loaded, hard question. There's so many great movies, so many great genres, all of that. I will say, like, comedy-wise, love Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yes, Dumb and Dumber. And I would say that, like, impact, I loved going to the Marvel movies for the first time. I always thought that they had incredible impact. But the first Transformer movie, before they got all crazy after, like, the third episode, the very first one, when you went to the theater for the first time, I thought that was really cool. Really cool movie.
Jake, explain what is a nickel corner.
A nickel corner is...
Can I try and explain it?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yep. Yes, Tom, I would love that.
It's an extra defensive back that you bring out in place of a linebacker to defend against the pass.
Money. Nailed it.
Five.
So it's that extra DB.
Five DBs. Okay. Okay, that's enough.
And typically, that nickel corner is going to be playing over the slot receiver. So that's typically where that nickel corner is going to play.
That's actually not true. That's a flat out lie.
Saved
Don't
by the Bell.
To Tom here.
Saved by the Bell is doing a reboot. What other 90s show would you like to see rebooted? I think any of the game shows, like the live action ones.
What are those Saved by the Bell kids doing? Are they like married and
I don't
Holmes,
know. They're living
they,
there. Well, Mario Lopez went on to host 1,000,005 shows,
right?
And him and his dimples are just living; they're thriving. I don't know what happened to anyone else.
I know what happened to Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
She came to the office once.
Yeah, she took a picture with me.
Yeah, I know, because every single guy walked into the sports pit and had a look on his face of shock and looked around the room and said, "Do you guys know who's here?" Danny did it. Then Curtis did it. Yeah. Then you did it.
True.
That is very true.
Impossible not to have a crush on her back
Kelly
in the day.
Kapowski.
She was just adorable.
Well, they have this. So Saved by the Bell, they're not the first to do it. Full House, they did a reboot. Fuller House.
Right.
That's on Netflix right now.
That makes some sense, though. Like, that was a big clan of people living in the same space. Release the Kraken. Hey, you know what we got to do?
Hmm.
What is on tap?
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. So, folks, what's on tap?
College hoops action. Cougs at home taking on Arizona State. That'll be at 8 o'clock on 710 ESPN Seattle. UW hosting Arizona tomorrow night. Man, I was sifting through a bunch of college basketball standings last night. Washington is in bad, bad shape right now.
Oh, yeah.
2-6 in conference. That's good for last place. They're out of it.
Yeah, we were
having
a debate about this.
Out of it right now. This is it's a bad, bad look for Hopkins because he looked like it looked like when he first came in, he had them turned around without even having his players. Now he's got his players. He made the tournament last year. Okay. Got a win, beat Utah. Or was it Utah State? I forget. But now he's got his players.
Utah State it was.
It was Utah State. Okay.
Yeah.
The Aggies. And it's been worse than bad. So I'm not saying his job is in trouble right now, but another year of this, it will be in trouble.
It's fascinating because, like you said, he came in fantastic. I mean, was back-to-back Pac-12 Coach of the Year. And you said that he's now got his guys, his recruits, and this is the product that you are now seeing out on the court. There's really no excuses for this season to be going the way that it is other than the fact that you identified guys that are not buying into your system. That's it. That's it. And so that's the hard part that you're running into is are you building a program or are you going for talented guys that you just don't know how they're going to come in each and every single year? Are they going to be bought in or are they not? And that's the interesting aspect of, Hopkins in this situation right now. They're on a horrible losing streak.
And here's the other thing about recruiting that kind of talent. You got to have like two or three of those guys. If you want to run your program the way John Calipari does it, he's got five every year. You better have at least two or three because one isn't going to make a difference.
It's true.
One of those players will not make a difference.
And I watch my Kansas Jayhawks and they get, those types of guys. And Bill Self does an excellent job of being able to bring in frontline guys that are legitimate one-and-done dudes, but also bringing in guys and saying, hey, you're not going to be the star this year. And they're okay with that and that they develop over their sophomore, junior, senior years. He always finds that right balance in his program between finding that star-studded talent and building and developing. And so I think that's the interesting difficulty for Mike Hopkins right now is as he's trying to build this, how does he go about it the right way and can he get enough of that?
All right, we're going to run through some NFL headlines next. Which head coach screwed up royally in the playoffs and then got himself promoted? Talk about it next, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
Let's just do it.
Let's just do it.
Let's just go.
Was Frank Clark a vocal guy when he was here?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, when we'd interview him, he was a terrific interview. He was forthright. He'd give you actual answers.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember him being a vocal guy like, hey, guess what's on my mind today?
I think it came more toward the end of his career here, which makes sense because he was getting older and a veteran player on a team. And I'm sure that then kind of doubled down going to a new team where you were a big acquisition in a trade and you're trying to come in as a leader to a defense that's looking to step up and match the production of their offense.
He's old and crotchety now.
Right.
No,
and,
yeah.
when I was in the locker room and you had Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill and those guys that were in that locker room, Frank Clark wasn't an outspoken guy. Like, it wasn't his team. It wasn't appropriate for him or Jaron Reed to really be vocal and step things up, from that aspect. So, once those guys left, there was a void that needed to be filled, and Frank Clark definitely was doing that starting in the second half of in 2018, for the 2018 season while he was still here in Seattle.
He was criticizing former Chief D. Ford, essentially the guy who he replaced.
Yes.
For the, quote, dumb penalty that he committed in the AFC Championship last year when he lined up off sides. Now, was it a dumb penalty? Yeah. Cost him the game. But what does he care? He wasn't involved in that.
Yeah, he's just trying to twist the knife. He's just trying to stir the pot. Yeah, he's trying to stir the pot, I guess. I mean, I think it's more of a shot at D. Ford than it is his own team.
Well, and D's on the 49ers now.
Yeah.
So you're,
Oh, true.
Yeah. That's where it's all coming from. I mean, you're taking a shot at the opponent that you're about to play.
I retract my statement.
Okay.
Statement. Sorry. The Texans have promoted Bill O'Brien to general manager. He was already the interim general manager?
Yes, he was the interim general manager, acting general manager for the 2019 season.
Now, this is a guy who, just a couple weeks ago, his team was up 24-0 on the road at Kansas City, and then ended up getting blown out.
And it all started with a decision to go for it on 4th-and-3 with a fake punt in your own territory. That's what sparked it all.
I thought it was going for the field goal.
Nope. It was
when they should have gone for it at the Kansas City 10.
No, it was it all started when he went for fake punt, 4th-and-3. They were on their own 30-yard
line. That was afterwards. You're right. That was bonehead.
And that's when the scoring started going at a rapid pace, and the Kansas City Chiefs got the ball back. I mean, they scored like 3 touchdowns in less than like 3 minutes, yeah. I think. It was ridiculous.
So he got himself a new job. He's officially the GM. Although I guess being GM has nothing to do with those in-game decisions.
No, it doesn't. But still, I mean, just it's a fascinating to watch that the owner would actually give that much control to Bill O'Brien. I don't know the conversations that are had there, but there must be a ton of trust in him after everything that's kind of gone on, and that they perpetually have been in the wild card game and have had early exits after that.
Would you guys want to have both titles, both GM and head coach?
It'd be hard because normally you'd come from two different backgrounds, right? One is climbing through player personnel and scouting ranks. It's not always this way.
Right.
One is climbing through player personnel and scouting ranks. The other might be through coaching, obviously, or through someone's coaching tree at different programs.
I mean, John Lynch is a former player. That's,
right.
That's the exception.
You
to the
have
rule,
some
though.
Guys that are both.
The situation, yeah. The other aspect about GM that not many people really think about is, as a general manager, your job is also the travel of the team. Like, you are there managing your football team in every aspect. So people look at the GM as just the guy that's making roster decisions, and that's the massive part of his job. But it's also to run everything from that standpoint on. And so I think Pete Carroll kind of has the best of both worlds in this situation, where John Schneider is doing essentially the bulk of the work. Him and his scouts, they're doing the bulk of the work. But as VP, Pete Carroll has the veto power or the ability to say or push, you know, whoever guy he wants to go after. So
when you're saying Schneider is managing all this other stuff, what do you mean? Like, he's scheduling plane tickets?
Yeah, that's part of his.
But he's got help doing that.
He's got help doing it, but it's part of his responsibility.
There's a lot of aspects.
Okay, he oversees it ultimately, well, but he's not the one who does.
And it depends what
kind
of coach.
True, but it's still on his
too.
Plate.
Like, if I am a kind of cutthroat coach, I don't care if your feelings are hurt that I'm also the one coaching you that decided to cut you. But if you're a player-friendly coach, you might want a little bit of the opportunity to play good cop, bad cop. Mm. Like, even though Carroll has a say in player personnel, more so than a regular head coach might, I would want the ability to kind of be able to maintain some good relationships, even if a player was getting released or cut.
Hmm. And I think that's where you've had breakdown in relationships with Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and all these guys with Pete Carroll, because, you know, Pete oftentimes wants to play that card of, hey, I'm just the coach. John Schneider is the GM. But in reality, it's like, no, you're more than that. You're a part of these decisions. You let John Schneider, you know, handle the majority of the work.
Who would rather
But you're change, a part of it.
Who would rather change places with who? Schneider or Carroll? I guess, you know what, that's probably a bad question, because the hierarchy here is a little bit different. Just theoretically, take any, you know, head coach, GM.
Yes.
Would the head coach rather be the GM, or would the GM rather be the head coach?
I would say that GMs are in a interesting situation where they know that they can't coach the team, but they would like to have input as to who plays.
Yeah.
That would be the extent. They wouldn't want to, you know, come up with the game plan.
Because it's the guys
like that
I just went and got,
yeah,
so you
I've
should
spent,
play my
if
guys.
If I've spent not only months, yes, but years, depending on how long I've been with this team, scouting these guys, and
right,
then you bench him because you aren't willing to trust me and my scouts.
Yeah, it's like, what am I doing here?
Although with a coach, I think they're more visible. There's more of a hot seat.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Because they get blamed for things,
yes,
that happen in game.
Well, you get blamed for the execution.
Yes. In baseball, it wasn't uncommon back in, not so long ago, maybe like 70s, 80s, where the manager of the team, if he was doing real well, would actually be moved up to GM. Like when Lou Piniella was with the Yankees, mm-hmm, he was taken out of the dugout and made GM at one point. I think Joe Torre at one point did that a long time ago. I mean, it wasn't an uncommon thing for that to happen. It would have been more uncommon to be the GM and then become the manager unless you hired yourself to do it.
Right. And that is essentially what has happened with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. Roger Goodell met with the media. He answered a couple of different questions. A, the league is going to honor Kobe Bryant during the Super Bowl. I think we all expected that. It's just a question of how much time they commit to it. The Rooney Rule, this was his quote. He said, "It's clear we need to change and do something different." Says changes are already in the works. The Rooney Rule, for those of you who don't know, is the rule that mandates that teams interview minority candidates for their coaching jobs. Not just head coaching, but front office jobs and also coordinator jobs, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's a real... They don't think that rule, that process, is really doing what it was implemented to do.
Right. And that's going to be an interesting situation as to how they implement that and how it ultimately comes to fruition, because, you know, you look at this rule and there is a clear disparity. When you look across, there's no question. You look at all across, you know, the NFL in terms of coaching, there are less and less minority coaches right now. And you're not talking about head coaches or... You're just talking about position coaches.
Yeah, front office jobs. That's probably the most important thing. I mean, I know we all look at head coaches. We see them on the sideline every Sunday, so that's a big help. But front office jobs, if we had more minority candidates being interviewed and hired for those jobs, that would really be a sign of progress.
Yes.
Because that's where the power is.
It is. And also, you know, you look at the coaching disparity, right? So that part of it, how do you get... more minority head coaches, they become assistants and they grow into coordinators. And so I think that's the interesting part about this, you know, as you look at it, and how are they going to, you know, mandate that part's going to be, you know, an interesting topic or an interesting thing to look at and how they enforce it.
Hey, by the way, they're not going to call the Las Vegas Raiders the Vegas Raiders, are they? Like they call the Vegas Golden Knights?
No, they are
Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas
or
Raiders.
Las Vegas, as they say.
But
Lost Wages.
I mean,
Lost Wages.
I'm gonna probably call them the Vegas Raiders.
No, you're not.
Yes,
yeah.
I will.
Well,
because
you say, but
no,
you,
you're not.
You say
probably
Vegas.
Will.
You don't say Angeles.
No, you'll
say Los Angeles. It's yeah. Normal to say Los Angeles, but many people say Vegas. Vegas is what's it called? Their motto is "What happens in Vegas," right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's how they refer to themselves, as opposed to, like, New Orleans.
You can do
it's not
that,
just Orleans.
But when you're stating the name of the team, you say Las Vegas Raiders.
Well, the name
Raiders.
Will officially be the Las Vegas Raiders, but there is a 1,000% chance I'll call them Vegas or the Vegas Raiders.
Okay, we're going to have a problem.
Well, I'll probably call them
At some point in time, that's probably going to happen. Now,
do you call
from an official standpoint, they are the Las Vegas Raiders, and that will be the proper pronunciation.
But the Vegas Golden Knights are officially... The Vegas Golden Knights. They don't have Las anywhere in there.
Correct.
Like, they did that because of what you're talking about. Because that's what people call the city.
Yeah.
But the Raiders, as far as I know, have not done that.
No, they haven't.
Do you call UNLV UNV?
No, I don't.
If I want to,
I call them UNLV.
Do.
But you're not going to on this program.
What are you
going
to do about it?
I'm going to, you know.
Nope.
I'm going to yell
it's
at you.
Yeah. UNV.
Who won the college basketball championship in 1990, Stacey?
UNV.
You're right. We sum it up next. 7:10 ESPN Seattle.
The wait is over.
They're going to wait him in.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned off.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports. Brought to you by Zone In CBD.
Step back.
Tell you what, guys.
Yep.
I don't want to get off on the wrong foot with yet another sports franchise.
Okay, because I'm not even kidding. What I've written down, and Jake can confirm, is that my sum it up thought was I'm okay with the Seattle Kraken.
Are you?
Yeah, that's what I wrote down.
But here's the thing. I'm surprised you're just saying okay, Stacey, because like 2-3 weeks ago we brought up this conversation. You were all in on the Kraken.
Well, because I'm a fan
that
of...
you're not like... you know, jumping up and down that you're
hearing. I'm all in because I like chaos. And this is the name that was most polarizing for people, which I found funny.
Oh, really? I thought that most people liked it.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I think it's either you like it or you hate it. And yep. And I'm okay with that. I also just, I don't know, I think it's funny.
Yeah, but that's only going to be funny to you for so long. Like, we're going to have to live with this name for like 50 years.
Yeah, but if not hockey more. Has weird names.
Like what?
The Flyers.
They fly.
The Penguins. You're telling me when they first had the Penguins, people were like, there aren't even penguins around here.
I think they hated that.
Well, but now people are fine with it.
Yeah,
penguins
are
wonderful. They mate for life and they take turns taking care of their eggs. And it's sad because they'll never meet polar bears. They're at different poles.
That is kind of sad when you think about it.
It's sad.
Oh, man.
Look, penguins shouldn't be in the North Pole in Coca-Cola commercials with Santa Claus. It makes no sense.
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with it if we called it the Krakens.
The Krakens? I just don't feel the connection to it in terms of the city. Like, it'll grow over time, sure.
Yeah.
Will you get used to it? Sure. But I don't think that there is a strong connection to, you know, there is rich history here in terms of this being a hockey town in its past, and I feel like you could and should tap into that.
But they can't do Metropolitans for some.
Which would be obviously the preferred.
Yeah, that would be great if they could use that.
The Seattle Metropolitans would be wonderful.
Why can't they use that?
It's somebody else has the rights to it or something.
It's a legal issue?
It's some.
Yeah, to me, that would be a slam dunk. Like that would be a no-brainer. But, you know, I just wish that they would come up with something, you know, with a little bit more connection here to the area. But, hey, I mean, we'll get behind whatever the heck
they're
called.
What if it's just salmon?
Seattle salmon?
The Seattle salmon.
Howdy likes that.
No, Howdy, you do not. No, you don't. He's doing this to make me mad.
It has a better sound to it.
I love the salmon.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
They got sharp teeth. Really tasty. Smoke them. Amazing.
Seattle swordfish.
Throw a lot of those fish onto the ice.
That could be our game tradition.
That's our thing. Every
That's
time we
thing.
Win, we throw a bunch
salmon.
Of salmon on the ice.
We throw fish onto the ice.
It'd be awesome.
I'm okay with it.
I'm looking at some of the other NHL team names, just to Jake's point here, about what connection their team name has to the city.
Sometimes it's nothing.
Sometimes it's nothing at all. I mean, Columbus Blue Jackets, what's that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are weird names out there.
I mean, New York Islanders, that makes sense. They play on Long Island. New Jersey Devils, that's kind of generic.
The
right?
Devils are kind of like a Kraken, you know?
A little bit, but New Jersey Devils, it just rolls off the tongue.
What are you saying about Jersey?
Nothing. It's just, you know, it kind of smells weird.
Okay.
St. Louis Blues makes sense.
Yeah.
Chicago Blackhawks. No, I don't know about that one.
Oh, just a cool name.
Winnipeg Jets. See, Jets could work in any city.
Yeah. We are by SeaTac.
See?
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Nashville Predators. That's kind of generic. Calgary Flames. Eh.
You know what I'll say? I think that people don't want something gimmicky because they want it to feel like this official, which it is.
Yeah.
An official major sports league, and they want it to feel exciting that this franchise is coming here. And I think maybe some fans worry that a name like Kraken is something that would be like an AAF when the AAF was briefly.
I'll give you another example. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks. When the league expanded after that movie came out, the Mighty Ducks, they said, oh, how cute. Wouldn't that be awesome if we named our expansion team in Anaheim the Mighty Ducks? And after a while, you know what happened? It got really lame, and they had to change the name of the team to the Anaheim Ducks. That's what you don't want to have happen. A situation where it gets so stupid that you have to change the team name.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. Checked. Done.
And that's
Boom.
Been checked.
Move on.
That's been checked.
It's been checked.
Can we agree on something? That if we're going to – if this whole – let Russ cook conversation is going to be a thing, and this is going to be a topic of conversation or a trigger word or a hashtag or whatever, then can we all agree that we need to come up with a criteria in terms of what that actually means? Because every time I see this, I see some ridiculous, you know, thought process as to what this means and what they need to do, and it's not even close to what actually is going to happen. So stop living in a fantasy world and start getting to something that's actually meaningful and that can get done and that this organization probably should and will get done. So that's my request in all of this, is I see way too many people throw this around and they've got no clue what's going on or what it means.
Let Russ cook! Let Russ cook! Let Russ cook!
Thank you.
Jake, you're so mad. I think we did a good job.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Great show. Great Wednesday.
We don't need a coordinator here, Jake. Just face it. He can do everything on his own. You should know this better than anybody.
Oh,
you know if they fire Schottenheimer, you're next in line. What are you worried about?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what it's going to be?
Well, obviously, we're coming along, too.
For something. Yeah.
Quality control purposes.
We're all going. We're all going.
The whole team goes.
Graduate assistant. All right, we're back tomorrow. I don't know what the heck we're doing. You know what we're going to do tomorrow for the very first time?
What?
We're going to really take a look at this game because we've ignored it all week long.
I know, and I want to be more excited about it. Actually, I am excited about it, and I'm going to help you guys get into this game.
I guarantee you over the next 2 days, we will be all in on the Super Bowl.
Rad. Tom, Jake, and Stacey, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Yeah, penguins are wonderful. They mate for life, and they take turns taking care of their eggs. And it's sad because they'll never meet polar bears. They're at different poles.